Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. And as we say each day, we want to help connect faith to life. So how do we apply biblical principles to life situations, especially when life situations are hard? And today, I believe we'll find some hope and some encouragement there, maybe even some restoration. My guest today, we're going to spend some time talking with Julie Woodley. Julie's founder and director of Restoring the Heart Ministries. She's a speaker, an author, and a counselor. And she holds an M.A. in Counseling, a Certificate in Theological Studies from Bethel Seminary. She's also, have you finished your M.Div. yet? Is that working?
No, I got a little sidetracked with creating films.
Okay, all right.
I've got, I think, maybe four classes
okay.
left.
So. Well, we're glad to have her. She's written several books. Her story, Restoring the Heart. In fact, she's just updating that, called A Wildflower Grows in Brooklyn. That'll be out soon. She's written with Dr. Norman Wright, Surviving the Storms of Life, and several others. And we want to talk about some of the storms of life and hear Julie's story. And we'll invite you to join the conversation here along the way. And maybe you have heard Julie. She's a Northwestern graduate from years ago. So welcome back to Northwestern College and Radio. Glad to have you here.
Oh, it's always so exciting to be back here. It feels like my family coming back here again. Yes.
Well, I know that you do have opportunity to travel around the country and on a regular basis are going to places like Northwestern and Bethel and working in college campuses. That's kind of part of your ministry as well, right?
Yes, it's been very exciting. I took my work, the film projects that I developed, which I'll talk a little bit more about, and Timberline Knowles, a residential treatment facility in Chicago, has hired me to go around the country and to train people how to work with trauma, and then I get the great opportunity to refer people to Timberline Knowles, and that's just a real honor for me to be able to do that. So,
let's talk about what it means to be a trauma counselor, I guess, and maybe how do you define trauma, and then I'm going to invite you to tell a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I think trauma can be defined in many ways, but I think it's when we feel like just life has absolutely falls apart, like the bottom has come out. We're overwhelmed. We don't know how to put the pieces together. And I always really admire someone when they're willing to reach out and ask for help. For those of us who have been there and have developed the coping skills to help them navigate through various storms of life.
Was there a... where was the point in your life where you were willing to cry out for help? I mean, is it typical that you try and handle it yourself or you stuff it or whatever?
Yeah, I think I did a variety of those things. But actually, I think it was really, I was at the University of Minnesota and my life just came crashing down. I wasn't a Christian. I had left home at 18 from a lot of trauma at home, a lot of sexual abuse. Left home at 18 the day after I graduated from high school. Hopped on a train by myself with no money and decided I just really had to get out of there to save myself. And but didn't know where to go for help. And pretty much hit the streets in all practical purposes. Was very sexually promiscuous, did a lot of drugs and alcohol, and didn't really know how to navigate through life, didn't know how to say no, didn't know what love was, didn't know how to receive love, which is often a common characteristic of those of us who have been sexually abused. We cry out for love and help in any way we can, even if it's a very painful, abusive way.
Yeah. And I mean, that's your response is pretty typical, isn't it? I mean, because you don't really know where to go or what to do.
Yes. I think when especially a figure in our life such as our father or an uncle or someone very close to us sexually abuse us, you know, we think the people in our life that should be protecting us are harming us. So we don't know where to go. We don't know where to receive that kind of love, especially if we've been sexually abused by someone that's close as a father figure. You know, they often will say, as my father did, this was the only time he ever said he loved me, was when he sexually abused me. So I equated the two and didn't really know how to navigate what was real love.
There has to be a point where you can sort of break out of that and, mm-hmm. and get clear thinking. And that's, I know, kind of your ministry, restoring the heart. Mm-hmm. And so talk about, I guess, that journey to seeing clarity and understanding real love.
I think a lot of it came through Northwestern College here. Wayne Peterson, who was your last station manager years ago, he took me under his wing, he and his family, and I worked at a little hamburger joint in Dinkytown, and took me under their wing and really loved me, and I became a Christian, and my life just absolutely turned 180 degrees around. Because God brought, you know, I get teary thinking about this, but all the people that God has brought into my life that really, really loved me through the worst of times when I felt like I was falling apart. My, you know, after I became a Christian, the flashbacks started coming, all the abuse and trauma that I had been through. And it was a number of the professors here at Northwestern College that really loved me through those times and didn't give up on me and saw the potential for my life. I think of especially Dr. Stephen Farah, who was your head psychology professor then. He took me under his wing, and I became part of his family. He was also a pastor, so I began to go to their church. And he just saw me he just began to show me that I was loved beyond my traumatic story and that God had an incredible plan for my life.
Is it, talk about, you know, the others saw the potential in you. Could you see the potential? Is that one of the, maybe the real challenges for people that are walking a similar mm-hmm. road to you, that they just can't see their potential?
Oh, that's a great question. I think those of us who have been traumatized, maybe verbally, physically, emotionally, sexually, we just concentrate on the lies. You know, I remember some of the lies that I was told: you're stupid, you're ugly, you'll never amount to anything. And I believed that until someone loved me enough to come in and began to tell me the truth of what God saw. That's when I could see that I was more than those lies. And I think then when I began to really, in prayer, go deeply and ask God to really take away that darkness and those lies and tell me the truth. So once someone else tells me, and then I began to allow God to go into those deep places and trusted Him to do that.
You know, you're director of Restoring the Heart Ministries. Mm-hmm. You're also a counselor, and you know what you've experienced. Your whole ministry really is counseling and speaking and encouraging, but this is for those that have experienced trauma. I mean, to go without counseling is there's not really resolution there on your own, is there, without some sort of outside help?
I mean, you can have help with the Holy Spirit, of course, yeah. But I think honestly that's a little rare. I think we really do. I always really applaud someone that's willing to reach out and ask for help. For those of us who have been there, have navigated to a better place, and really begin to receive the love of God through another, you know, we're community people. And if we stay in isolation from our past wounds, honestly, I don't see a lot of, yes, we can get better, but unfortunately not a lot. And that's why I really applaud a Christian radio station that's willing to be able to reach into that loneliness of people if they turn on the radio and ask for help.
We were kind of talking before the program. I mean, there's a sense of loneliness where you become an orphan in many ways, mm-hmm. Because you have to leave family just for safety. And there's oftentimes no one, right?
Yes, and I pretty much became an orphan. I left home and, you know, hopped on a train and never could go back because it was so very, very unsafe there. So really had to make it on my own. And I just remember just a significant time hopping on that train, you know, walking 2 miles with a pair of jeans, and that's all I had, and like no money, not even enough money to buy myself a, you know, to buy myself a train ticket, but that was it, not even a meal. And just looking at myself in that mirror as the train wound out of the Rocky Mountains through Glacier Park, and my face was a mess because my father had just beaten me and had just sexually abused me. And just looking in the mirror and thinking, I have nothing. I have no one. I have no money. All I have is myself, and I have to make it. I don't know how to do this. And within the next 5 years, thankfully, God reached down and he restored my life. And really, actually, it was an incredible miracle. I had actually just come out of a really hard time in my life. I was living on the streets of St. Paul, pretty much homeless. Would get a meal whenever I could. Was very sexual. Did a lot of partying. And I had a rooming house this one particular night, and I had it all planned when I was going to take my life. And I had the pills in the medicine cabinet, and I had it all planned out. And I remember just weeping and weeping, and I don't mean just like a little cry. I mean like my whole body was just weeping as I was. That night I didn't have a bottle, and I didn't have a man, and I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed myself to sleep. And in the middle of the night, I after I finally fell asleep and just kept arguing with myself not to commit suicide, I finally went to sleep and had thrown the bottle of pills in the garbage, and in the middle of the night I heard a voice, and I say this with emotion because it's like it's still there, even though it was years ago, and that voice said, "Julie, I love you," and it just got louder and louder until it woke me up. And in the middle of the night I woke up, and I just felt all this love just rush through my body. And you know, I'm thinking to myself, who or what could ever love me? At, you know, I felt like the worst sinner ever. But someone out there, someone loved me. And for the next 2 years, I just really, really clung to that voice, and that voice clung to me. And whenever I wanted to kill myself, it would come back and it would say, "I would love you. I love you." And, at that point I became a Christian, and God brought me to Northwestern College and just really restored my life. This was, to me, it was heaven. I didn't miss one chapel. I didn't miss one lecture. I didn't, especially my classes on Bible survey. I mean, I was a mess. I'd sit there and listen to scripture verses, and I still do. And I would sit in the back because I would cry. You know, I was just, God had restored my life and wanted me to be alive and wanted me to take in every tiny particle of his word and how he loved me, and he wanted my life to mean something.
Out of that experience, well, in fact, we'll come back and talk more about that, because I want to find out about just when the decision to you know, to share what God had done in your life and how that developed, and restoring the heart ministries, mm-hmm. and your speaking and your writing, mm-hmm. and just doing some counseling and some encouragement there. And I want to just hear more of the story. Julie Woodley is my guest today, founder and director of Restoring the Heart Ministries. And we're happy to just hear her story and looking forward to hearing more. We'll open up the phone lines, too, and if you'd like to queue up and just have something you'd like to ask Julie and just talk with her, you're welcome to join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Taking some time on Connecting Faith to hear Julie Woodley's story and to offer some encouragement and hope. Maybe you're in a spot today where you just you don't know how to say no. Life has been lots of pain and suffering, and you're wondering if there is some hope. And we want to continue to talk about that as we see what God has done in Julie's life and how that can make a change in your life as well. Julie's founder and director of Restoring the Heart Ministries. And she is, in fact, we'll talk a little bit about that now, a division head for the Association of Christian Counselors?
Yes, American Association of Christian Counselors, AACC.
AACC, in the area of abortion, sexual trauma, and mental health. And, Julie, I just want to find out, you know, your experience at Northwestern. Was there an immediate sense that, you know, I need to help others? God's love transforming me. I want to be that voice of hope to others. Mm-hmm. Or did that counseling bug bite right away?
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't know if the counseling bug bit right away, but the love of God did. I remember just sitting in chapel, and I felt like, you know, I'm not a very big person, but I felt like my whole body was absolutely huge, consumed with the love of God. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like I felt like, and I still do, like I was going to bust with God's love. And if there was any way that I could help one person with all the pain that I had gone through and how God had imparted his love on me, then all of that pain was worth it. And I remember just thinking, what is my vocation? And I didn't know what my vocation was to be, but I knew that the bottom line, that my vocation was to love. I didn't know what that would look like. I remember my grandmother. She was one person in my life that actually kept me alive as a little girl. She was this little tiny woman, about 4'8", you know, this little soft woman that was just filled with love. And she used to say to me, I may not be very smart and I may not be very pretty, but I can love better than anybody. And she showed me extravagant love. And she was really Jesus to me in so many ways. And so, yes, just sitting and thinking, if I can just love somebody through what I have been through, then just, you know, show me how to navigate this next part of my journey, God.
If we haven't experienced that kind of trauma or pain, I mean, can we enter into the suffering of others? Or is it only people like you that God has transformed that can really know and understand?
Oh, I think that's a great question. I think it's the brave souls that have not been through what we have been through with severe trauma, but that are willing to open up their hearts that have been abused or traumatized, and if they can decide that they're gonna they're gonna enter into the messiness, and it is messy working with someone that has been sexually abused, has had abortions, all of that. It is messy, but if they're wounded, if they're willing to come in and be wounded healers and heal the wounded, I really applaud them for being able to do that.
Let's talk about the hope of Christ coming to play in a traumatic situation, because we've sort of described it out of your life and experience, you know, what that's like, that pain and suffering. Where does the hope of Christ come in and begin transformation? Is it that that level, say, first of all, you're loved, you mm-hmm. have potential, but mm-hmm. maybe talk about that, those steps.
The hope of Christ, I think I love to see the hope of Christ come in through another person, to be able to see that that's what Jesus is like. And I want to be like that, such as Wayne Peterson and various other people that have come into my life. John Eldridge has been a great influence in my life. Dr. Norman Wright, just simple everyday people that will just come in and love us in the worst times in our life. That makes an incredible impact on us. That they're willing to take a risk and love, and often we feel so very unlovable. Those of us who have had abortions, we feel so unlovable. We feel like we've done the three worst sins. We got pregnant outside of marriage, or we had sex outside of marriage, we got pregnant outside of marriage, and we aborted our baby. So we feel like the worst of sinners. So to have people to come alongside and love us, that's just an incredible thing. And when I created the video projects that I did, the first one I created was In the Wildflowers. It's for the trauma of childhood sexual abuse and really took the top professionals and writers in the country that work with sexual abuse, and many here from the Twin Cities, and put them on film, and then took six women, and Dr. Jeanette Vogt from the Christian Recovery Center, she led those six women through healing. And it's all, everything I do is built on visual storytelling, so you really watch stories unpacked, and just the love of God come in, and just watch them just leave that setting and just be transformed with the love of Christ.
Let's talk about that transformation process. Is it forgiveness? Is it releasing shame? What are the, I guess, what does that look like?
Yes, I really, when I wrote this curriculum for In the Wildflowers and then the next project that was just produced on the trauma of abortion called Into My Arms, what I really did was I took my own journal writings and my own healing process and wrote the curriculum and then put it on film. And yes, of course, it's first of all, being able to tell your story. And I tell you, it is an incredible, incredible opportunity to listen to somebody's story and to have them feel safe. So you tell your story. You go to the heart of your story where you're not just reciting the details of your life, but you're really going to the heart of it and feeling it, and then being able to go to those deep shameful places and be honest and just let it all out, just let it all out and bring the love of God to come in and release that shame. And then the great opportunity to look at your identity in Christ. Who am I in Christ? And that's why I love that song by Jason Gray. It's, who am I in you? Remind me who I am. And in my great work that when I travel the country, I often ask God, remind me who I am. Remind me who I am. I'm an orphan in many ways, an orphan that left home with no family, but God continues to remind me who I am in Him. And so that identity and forgiveness, shame, unpacking all of that and then bringing in the love of Christ, and to be able to be a therapist and a counselor and a minister of God and watch someone being transformed in the love of Christ, that's the most incredible job in the whole wide world. To watch them to be able to heal and feel restored, and you're watching this person that came from a shameful place and often with their eyes cast down, to all of a sudden they're just beaming. And somebody used the word, when we watch people leave these wildflower retreats that I developed, they're shiny, shiny with the love of God and want to just explode and carry it out to a broken world. That's an incredible thing to watch that happen.
And the world is not getting any less broken, is it? I mean, you you have ministry opportunities infinite number, don't you? I mean, it's sad but true.
Yes, and I think all of us do. And if we're willing to go to the most broken of places, I've been doing some incredible work as a trauma therapist in the strip clubs, working with prostitutes and women that are in the middle of human trafficking, and what an incredible place to be, that they're so desperate for the light of and love of Christ. As I work with these women, I just feel so very honored to help them find a way out. A way out to know that there's life beyond this horrible, dark life that they have. And one thing that these women continue to tell me is I go in there and I actually celebrate their birthdays and bring them in a birthday cake and roses and celebrate who they are. And the one reoccurring dream that these women have is, I'm dreaming that it's dark, I can't get out, I've been abused, I don't know what to do, I'm trapped. And all of a sudden, the door opens and all this light streams in, and it's Jesus. He's coming in and he's pulling me out. And then they say to me, they say, he sent you here for me, didn't he? And oh my goodness, that just breaks me into crying and them into crying. And they say, he's the one that can help me out of this place. Yeah.
Jesus is still in the rescuing business.
Yes.
And the restoration business, and using willing people who have gone through brokenness themselves, but are willing to just to pour over that love that God has poured into them. Julie Woodley is in that in that category. She's founder and director of Restoring the Heart Ministries. And she's told her story in the book, Restoring the Heart, and she's updating that. And there'll be a new book out soon called The Wildflower Grows in Brooklyn. She's also written Post-Abortion Trauma, The Silent Side of Abortion, and Surviving the Storms of Life with Dr. Norm Wright. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more with Julie in just a minute. Talk about, you know, do you get stuck in your story? And how do you move from, you know, not still being a victim? And then is restoration, you know, really possible? And we'll get to the answers to those. And love to invite you if there's some pain, some trauma in your life and you simply want to talk about it. The phone lines are open for you. And there's some encouragement here with Julie. I'd love to just share the love of Christ in maybe pour into your life in a new way. You can join us at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. Julie Woodley is my guest today. We'll continue in a couple minutes. Reminder that we belong to God. He hasn't abandoned us, even if we feel that way. Julie Woodley is my guest today, founder and director of Restoring the Heart Ministries, and so glad to have you in the studio. Julie, I want to ask, I guess, you know, talking about that song so important to you and your journey, how do you not get stuck in your story? I mean, or maybe to still feel like a victim? I mean, many people maybe are feeling stuck today.
I like what you just said, by the way. He doesn't abandon us. And I think if we can just really let that sink deep within us, and if we really begin to do that, we don't get stuck in our story. Our story maybe writes our potential, and if we begin to look at our story and heal from our story and allow God to come into those places with us and have the great opportunity to allow others to come into our story and love us through it, I think then we can let it go. And that is one step on both of my projects that I wrote, the project on the trauma of abortion and the trauma of sexual abuse, is the step of taking responsibility for your story and moving forward. And that's often a hard place to a hard thing to do, because we've lived it so long and we often don't know how to get out of it. But I think the more teachable we can be and really absorb the words of others that love us and see our potential and really let that sink in and the potential that God creates us to be. And I think we can certainly move beyond that. Even if we don't feel like we can, if we allow ourselves to let God enter into our story and give us a new history and new joys and new hope, and let the past go, let the darkness go, let the depression go, let the suicidal thoughts go, let it all go and just let yourself be open to the love of God.
Is there, I mean, as you've been counseling and sharing and teaching, speaking for many years, is there sort of one thing that sort of always holds us back, or is there a, you know, where's that frequent point of resistance? Say, I can't do it.
I think it's a battle for our heart. I think Satan would love us to stay in our story, stay in our gook, stay in the garbage heap. But if we can let God really come into our heart and give him our heart and give him our desires and give him all of that. And I absolutely love to watch somebody dream with God and to see that that their story is bigger than who they are. And that's one of the reasons why I created these projects, was to help people understand that they're part of a bigger story. You know, we're doing this big event in actually Cambridge, Minnesota, April 20th and 21st, and would love for you to come. Well, it's at Cambridge United Methodist Church, the night of the 20th and the 21st. You can go on my website and register. But we want to help you see that you can be part of a bigger story, whether you have been a victim of sexual abuse or different types of trauma, or you want to come in and learn how to help others to be able to tell their story and heal from their story. Or if you're a prayer team, a church prayer team that wants to come in and just help walk beside people, we would love to teach you how to do that, to really go into the hearts of the deep places of people that are in trauma.
By the way, the website, Restoring the Heart Ministries, rthm.cc, mm-hmm. an easy way to just to find out about the resources, and of which there are many, and the website is full of lots of great ways to find some help and some hope and healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, that for those in the Minnesota Twin Cities area, that April 20th, 21st, we'll talk about that here again in a moment. I'm just wondering if I know you had an opportunity to talk with someone not too long ago who was on the way, actually, to an abortion appointment. And, you know, oftentimes it seems like we look at the challenges before us and say, I need a solution for right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to sort of know that, yes, there may be a bigger picture out there, but right now I have a big problem and I can't see my way around it. What do you say?
Yeah, that was that's been an incredible opportunity to have mothers call me with their daughters on the way to the abortion clinic. Or you know, it seems like a simple solution, and I understand. I've been there, and I took that what I thought was a simple solution, but it's really not. And when I work with women that have struggled with their abortion wounds as well as myself, I see what a toll it has taken on us in many, many factors. It's taken a toll on our self-esteem, our shame issues, the way that we often look at God, the ways often that we parent our children. Those of us who have aborted our babies have really parent in very dysfunctional ways, unless we're willing to go and be restored in those deep wounds of our abortion. And it also impacts our marriages, being intimate with our husband and places that we long to be. It just takes a toll on so many different ways. Would love to walk beside some of you that have aborted their babies or are on your way to the abortion clinic, and would love to walk beside you and show you that you can be restored. You can let go of that pain and that shame and that regret.
I think that's maybe, you know, a question is restoration healing ever complete once brokenness has occurred? I mean, there can be some scars, but what does it really mean to be restored?
I guess when you ask that question, everything within me just jumps and says, yes, 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 we can be restored. Now, that doesn't mean we may dip down into some pain and memories and all of that, but I think, yes, we can be restored. We can have a life that's filled with incredible joy and freedom and the love of God. Every single part of us can, if we're willing to say yes to the healing and the love and the grace of God and others that are willing to come beside us.
It can be a process, though. I'm sure there were, you know, even when you were experiencing new life in Christ early on, I mean, and since then, been walking with the Lord for many years, but that there are still memories and mm-hmm. dark moments and things, and, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, how do you deal with some of those times?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And sometimes it just hits you. You just feel blindsided by that. I remember in particular, Now I have four incredible children, just incredible. But I remember when they were younger, sitting on the beach one night. It was a beautiful night. They were blowing bubbles on the sand, and it was just a beautiful sunlit night, moonlit night. And all of a sudden, it just hit me, just out of the blue. There should be two more children here, the two babies that I aborted. And it just took me. It just broadsided me, and my poor kids, you know, they look over at Mom and she's just a mess on the beach. What in the world just happened to Mom, you know? And so, yes, it can just take us off guard. But I just prayed, especially that night, God, please enter into this pain and show me where to go from here. And thankfully, the next morning we went to church, and the pastor was talking about the love of God and how he can restore any wound, any sin, anything we've done. And I really went into a healing time from that experience, and knew that I had some grief to do. I had to lay down those burdens of the abortions that I had been a part of and said yes to. And it was a very healing time, but a very sweet time. And that doesn't mean it doesn't come back periodically, but it's not as strong. And God has given me a resilience to walk through it with Him, and with hand in hand with Him.
Mm-hmm. His word and His presence, and His love never fail, never abandon us, right?
Never. No matter what you're in, He's there. I walked through a nasty case of cancer about 7 years ago, and He was there every step of the way in my weakness, in my sickness, and not knowing if I was going to see tomorrow or my children grow up. He was there. He is in all of our story. He is in every single minute of every day. I feel honestly, this many years after my conversion, I feel like it just happened yesterday. I feel like the love of God has just so consumed my life that I just don't know what to do with it all. So I really applaud when I have an opportunity to speak on the radio or tell my story, to show other people that they can have that too. They can have it every single minute of every day. They can have the love of God there.
Talked about your own some health issues there, and we're going to come back in a moment because I want to talk a little bit more about that, because there the people that, you know, maybe are dealing with one difficulty or pain or trauma, and then there's something else that sort of piles on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do we handle it when it piles on? And we just wonder, well, you know, I can't take any more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about your work doing some trauma counseling in 9/11 in New York, and we'll get to those discussions in just a minute. And maybe there's a story or question or just a pain that you're dealing with and you'd like to just get some encouragement from Julie, you're welcome to join the conversation as well at 877-933-2484. Julie Woodley is my guest, a director, founder of Restoring the Heart Ministries. Powerful message of hope. Forgiveness makes a way. It seems like the pain will never end. Well, Julie Woodley has experienced that. Survivor of a number of traumatic circumstances. Her story has been told on Focus on the Family and Unshackled. And she's here sharing with us today. She's founder and director of Restoring the Heart Ministries. And is also a division head of the American Association of Christian Counselors in dealing with abortion, sexual trauma, and mental health. Her new book coming out soon, A Wildflower Grows in Brooklyn. Telling more of her story, I encourage you to watch for that. And we'll mention her website again as well. It's Restoring the Heart Ministries, rthm.cc. Julia, you were there living in Brooklyn when 9/11 happened, and had the opportunity to be doing some trauma counseling there. Just thinking about, as you shared a little bit about your story, just, you know, having had difficulties and then disease come as well. I mean, it mm-hmm. seems like those blindside times, we say, how much more can we handle? What do you do when it just sort of keeps piling on?
That's a great question. I just remember, I remember being at the bottom of Tower 2. Now, I was ushered in by the Secret Service and the FBI into the very bottom of Tower 2, where it was still smoldering, and there was glass coming out. There was shoes everywhere where people were actually blown out of their shoes. There was purses, backpacks. They were still hoping to find live people there. But I remember just being overwhelmed, and it's like, why, God, did you bring me here? There's a message that you want me to have here to bring to the world. And I remember looking up where the moon was, and it was beautiful. Someone went up there and scrolled, God is still here. And that was just so very powerful. It was still quiet where they wanted to see if someone was tapping or there was a noise where someone was alive there. But I just remember thinking that, yes, I think I kind of got it. I understand a lot about sexual abuse. I understand a lot about post-abortion. Yes, I can still learn more, but I think I'm getting that. But I can't fit this one into my brain. There's no space left for this. This is such a gaping wound, and I just don't know what to do with all of this. And I remember just having these conversations with people there just a few days after, 9/11, and then, of course, afterwards. And all of our senses were overwhelmed, and those that had not dealt with past traumas, It was so hard on them. I especially remember this young woman that I worked with, absolutely wonderful woman, Maureen. She actually was across from Tower 2 and left the building when people were jumping out of buildings and was dodging people. And thankfully, she actually froze in trauma. She was clinging to a fence, and thankfully, some big policeman carried her across a bridge. She's a pretty big woman, so he carried her across the bridge. But for the next couple months, she just laid and stared at a ceiling fan going around. She didn't know what to do with all the trauma. Yes, from 9/11, and that was incredibly traumatic. But she began to disclose about the sexual abuse, about the abortions that she had that she had never discussed. So it's so important, if we feel like God is probing us, to look at our past traumas and our past losses and griefs. And if we feel that, please go to that place and allow Him to go in there. Don't get too busy to allow God to come in and heal those deep wounds. And I'd love to be part of what you're doing in that. I'd love to be next to you. We have these great opportunities as I come back every month to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and train people how to use the projects that I developed to really reach out and help others, to really walk us beside someone that is so very, very broken.
And as you said, it's just you can't sort of fit one more thing into your thinking, whether it's a cancer diagnosis or whatever it might be. It's just there's, once that that load has gone over the limit, then you have to deal with it, right?
Yes. And thankfully, I've got the top people in the country working with me. Of course, Timberline Knowles, love to refer people there. And also Lighthouse Network, they're a call-in center all across the nation where if you're in trauma anywhere in the United States, they will plug you into great Christian counselors all over to be able to really walk beside you in that woundedness.
The Lighthouse Network. Mm-hmm. All right. We want to make sure we just give your website out again, too, Restoring the Heart Ministries, rthm.cc. It's a simple web address that can get you on the road to help and healing. I was reminded, Julie, as just you were talking about 9/11, that it's pretty important for us to really keep short accounts, isn't it, to not let these things just linger and fester, perhaps.
That's a great way to put it, short accounts. Yes, they can become a cancer to us, to the people around us, to our family members. And it's important for family members to come alongside us when we go through the healing after sexual abuse or abortions. And sometimes we just need one person, one constant person next to us that can give us that strength that we know is going to be there, is going to love us through it, maybe love us through the worst of times, and is not going to walk away.
Is reconciliation a part of the healing process? I mean, it seems like in some situations, you can't really go there, can you?
Sometimes, yes. I guess it depends on the other party. I would have absolutely loved to be reconciled with my earthly father if he had chose that, but he had chose not to do that or not to admit about all the sexual abuse that had happened, and he just was not a trustworthy person to reconcile with for myself or for my children. So it is possible, but I guess that's really up to both parties.
Yeah. Julie, I know that you've been writing and speaking, and just tell me a little bit about, I guess, Wildflowers. I like the name, A Journey in the Wildflowers. So just talk about the what that means and the visual image there.
That's a great question. Even with all the trauma of my past as a little girl, where I would go home and not know if I was going to be beat up or abused, God had placed me in a beautiful environment, the Rocky Mountains of Montana, and my horse was my best friend. And I would come home from school, and after I did my load of chores, I would go out into the wildflowers with my horse and sometimes sleep in the wildflowers, and he would stand guard of me, or there was apple trees down in the field, and I trusted him so much. He was like part of me. I would sometimes stand on his back and pick apples, and he would eat them with his mouth. And his name was Chico, and he was like my dearest friend. And I really believe that sounds funny, but that horse was an angel that God put there for me. And God put me in those wildflowers because even in the middle of my abuse, I looked back and God was there. He gave me resilience. He gave me pockets of love, such as my grandmother, to love me through the worst of times and not give up on me.
And just say to talk to someone that might be listening today that needs a place of wildflowers in their life. And what's your encouragement to them that are hurting right now?
My encouragement is to allow other people to walk beside you in your pain. Don't be alone in it. Go to a place where you can speak the unspeakable, where you can say what you've never been able to say, to be able to tell your story and have people that will love you and your story, Christians and people that understand traumatic wounds. Please go there and please look up my website and come to these opportunities that we have here in the Twin Cities to be able to reach out and love you in the deepest of places.
Is there a verse or a passage or maybe just a biblical story that is particularly meaningful to you that you maybe come back to time and time again?
Just one?
Well, what's the one that comes to mind?
The one that I have said ever since I became a Christian at 23 years old, the first thing I say every morning is, first of all, I allow God to just love me. When I wake up in the morning and I say to him, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for we shall see you, God." And God has answered that prayer over and over, that passionate, tenacious prayer. God does make himself known as we continue to ask for a pure of heart, that we can see him. And I see him everywhere. I see him every single place, every sense, every moment. All we have to do is usher his love in, and he's there. You know, I may not be very, I kind of reflect back to my grandmother. I may not be brilliant. I may not be able to study, you know, the Book of Lamentations and get every word down. But you know one thing? I know I am loved, and I am forgiven, and I am set free, and I long to bring that love to the world.
Julie, thanks so much for just sharing your story so passionately with us. And we're thankful that God has poured out his love in your heart and you're able to pour it out in the lives of others. It's been an encouragement today. Julie Woodley, founder, director of Restoring the Heart Ministries. And you'll read more about her story of several books. There's Surviving the Storms of Life with Dr. Norm Wright, Post-Abortion Trauma, The Silent Side of Abortion. She's reworking her story, Restoring the Heart, in a new book called A Wildflower Grows in Brooklyn. And you can find out more on her website about Into My Arms or the Journey into the Wildflowers. The website is rthm.cc. That's for Restoring the Heart Ministries, rthm.cc. And Julie, thank you again for coming today.
Such a delight to be here. Thank you so much.
Let's listen to a little bit of Jason Gray as we wrap up the program today, and let the message be an encouragement to you today. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.
If I'm your beloved, can you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. Lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you.